This is 89.9 WWNO. Yes, we're headed for another art-filled week. Are you making plans or do you need some ideas? Well, you've come to the right place. This is a great week for stage performances. We have three entries with subjects ranging from Marilyn Monroe, a cross-country journey by bike, and a life-changing event that grounds an Air Force pilot. Come along as we go inside the arts. Hi, I'm your host, Diane Mack. One of the most famous sex symbols of the 1950s, American actress and model Marilyn Monroe is the subject of an original production at the World War II Museum's BB Stage Door Canteen. Pictures of Marilyn stars Victory Bell and native New Orleanian Courtney Beau in the title role. And Courtney Beau is here.
Hi, everyone.
How do you fill the shoes of this Hollywood legend?
Man, it is a daunting role to have to undertake, but I am very honored to do it. It has been quite a challenge to do my research because there's a lot, but yet there's so little all at the same time. You know, all of her movies really do help to encapsulate the public image of her and how people perceive her. But there's not a lot as far as the underlying Marilyn Monroe, or as I like to refer to her as the lowercase M.M., Marilyn Monroe. So that was a little challenging, trying to fill in those voids where there's not an interview of her in her normal speaking voice, because everything else is just like this. And so it's really breathy and kind of a persona that we think of as Marilyn Monroe. So starting with the research, it's been a lot of movies, a lot of biographies, and then the beauty of it is having that opportunity to create the person that I think she was.
Tell us about her ties to the Second World War.
Our show, Pictures of Marilyn, opens up in the 1940s. She was working in the factory on airplanes and building parachutes and filling ammunition up and stuff like that. And a lot of people don't realize that. Norma Jean was a simple girl. She didn't have very much money. She was abandoned when she was young. And at this time in her life, she was married to someone who was in the Merchant Marines, Jimmy. And while she was in the factories, she was approached as being the girl next door. And she was solicited to take some photographs to show the efforts on the home front. And the photographer noticed her and he saw something in her. And it was kind of the start to her whole career. She knew that she was destined for so much more.
Are there a lot of lesser known facts that we will discover in this production?
We're going to see her struggles to break out of this mold and to break out of this woman who you think would be so content being a married housewife, waiting for her husband to come home. It basically encapsulates all of the relationships and the way that she made it known that she was going to be different and she was going to be a star. We show her vulnerability, her courage, her strength, and her ways of just getting what she wants, whether it's being loved, being wanted, and being viewed as a legitimate actress and someone that's not just a sex symbol.
Do you go through the famous marriages?
We do actually have a character of Joe DiMaggio, played by Edward Simon. His approach in the show is kind of a domineering and chauvinistic approach to the way he dealt with Marilyn and their marriage. And he was a very jealous type. He wasn't very keen on the fact that she was stealing the spotlight because he was quite a star himself. And so that was kind of an interesting dynamic between the two of them. Their marriage was based a lot on physical attraction. Through that, we go into her relationship with Arthur Miller, the playwright. And that dynamic is a lot different. It's based on the intellectual side, and he sees her as a very talented star, and he sees her for her true self. And I think Marilyn is intrigued by that and is very much turned on, if you will, because this man sees her in a different way and not just a sex symbol. And Arthur Miller is played by Kevin Roethlisberger.
Now, what will you sing?
What will I sing? I want to be loved by you. We do that. It's from Some Like It Hot. Another famous one is Diamonds Are a Girl's Best Friend from Gentlemen Prefer Blondes. There's a plethora of other ones that are kind of unexpected, but they are of the time, a little lesser known to the masses. But we use them so wonderfully in moving the story along.
Does the production touch upon the business side of Marilyn Monroe?
It sure does. Marilyn Monroe was one of the first women to create her own company during that time. It was quite a feat because a lot of people don't realize that she was actually a very good businesswoman. She wanted to show that she was a legitimate actress and that she could play deep roles. And she did that through her company called Marilyn Monroe Productions. She teamed up with the famous photographer Milton Green, and she and Milton created this enterprise, if you will, and created some really nice pieces of work.
How does this production differ from roles you've held in past performances at the Stage Door Canteen?
A lot of the shows that we produce at the Stage Door Canteen, it is a review, if you will. So it's a lot of songs with a little bit of dialogue thread in between. And with this is more of an acting piece with songs every once in a while.
Tell us a little bit about yourself and how you became a Victory Belle at the National World War II Museum.
So I actually started off as a ballerina with the New Orleans Ballet Association. I had no idea that I could sing. So through little things here and there, I did some shows at Jesuit High School. And I got the bug to be on stage and kind of transform just the dancing aspect, encompassing with the music and the acting as well. I've always been an old soul, and I've always loved the music of the 1940s. And so when I found out that this adventure was open for me to partake in at the National World War II Museum as a Victory Belle, I jumped right on that. I've been at the National World War II Museum for 6 years as a Victory Belle, and the journey has changed my life. It's my little way of giving back and to salute those who have put themselves on the back burner and put themselves out there for their country. And so I am actually retiring as a Victory Belle and from the National World War II Museum. Marilyn Monroe is kind of my swan song, and it's a way of growing and saying goodbye to that stage. But change is good, and there's a lot ahead that I just don't know quite yet what that will be. But I'm excited to figure that out, and I'm grateful for the journey.
Well, we wish you well that journey. What will audiences remember most from this production?
You know, from the early stages of being Norma Jean and to now seeing her as Marilyn Monroe, this show is a great example of the snapshots of her life and the ways that she went about getting what she wanted.
Actress and singer Courtney Bowe, thanks.
Thank you.
I want to be kissed by you, just you, nobody else but you.
The National World War II Museum presents Pictures of Marilyn, with performances running in BB's Stage Door Canteen, weekends through November 27th. Across town, a dramatic off-Broadway comedy, a Pulitzer Prize finalist, makes its local premiere as the NOLA Project presents Amy Herzog's 4,000 Miles. Veteran actress Carol Sutton and NOLA Project Artistic Director A.J. Allegra are here. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
On its surface, this is a play about an incredibly long bike trip. But what are the themes being explored in this cross-country journey?
For me, it's family.
The play is a lot about the distance between people. And even though it all takes place in an apartment, there's a great journey traveled within that, both intergenerationally between Vera and Leo, and dramatically as he makes a trip all the way from Seattle to New York City on bike. Leo is setting off on a cross-country bike trip that he's going to make with his best friend.
His best friend.
And something happens along the way that is unexpected and that kind of drives the rest of the narrative forward. But it is a popular thing to actually take your bike and dip your back tire in the Pacific Ocean, mm-hmm. ride all the way across the Atlantic Ocean, then dip your front tire in the Atlantic. It's a very ritualistic thing, and actually a lot of bicyclists have done this very thing.
AJ, when did you know this work was something that you had to bring to local audiences?
Well, I first heard of the play in 2012 when it was premiering at Lincoln Center off Broadway because it starred Mary Louise Wilson, who is a famous actor whose home is in New Orleans. And I read the script in American Theater Magazine, and it immediately touched me because it reminded me of my own relationship with my grandmother. The play approaches old age and it approaches aging with a total lack of cliche and stereotype in a very brutally honest way that I think really hits home with people.
Now, Carol, you play the 91-year-old grandmother, Vera. What attracted you to this work?
Well, Mary Louise Wilson, she's a friend of mine. And I remember when she originated this role. So more than anything, I wanted to do it because Mary did it. Mary Louise Wilson did it. But then I read it because I said yes before I even read it. And I kind of fell in love with Vera. You know, she's just a wonderful character.
So let's set the stage. What is the storyline?
Leo, who after completing this 4,000-mile bike journey, shows up in the middle of the night at his grandmother's Greenwich Village apartment. Not really having a plan with his life, knowing what he's going to do, he just knows his grandmother's in New York, and that's probably the person who he can ring the buzzer at 3 a.m. and she'll actually let him in. They become roommates, and they're forced to learn to live with each other, the good and the bad. It's about their developing relationship as Leo determines the next step that he needs to take in his life to becoming a man.
Is there something from the production that you can share that will give us insight into the characters?
My favorite is when Vera is talking to Leo's girlfriend, Beck.
Now, this is Rebecca coming over for the first time since he's been there. She's coming over to see him. And we don't know why she's coming over. We eventually learn why she's coming over, but he's late coming in. And so Vera has to entertain her until he comes in. You know, that's kind of awkward. So 91-year-old Vera decides she was going to tell her something about her life, I guess. So she says, you know, when I was first married, oh, not to Joe, to my first husband, Arthur, we had been married for about, week or two, when this woman showed up at my apartment with luggage. And Arthur said, oh, I forgot to tell you, before we married, I promised I'd take her away for the weekend, and I don't want to think on my promise. And I said, well, all right. And so they left, and I put the key on the piano, and I went back to my parents. Well, he came to my parents after the weekend, and he was begging and pleading. I thought he was so funny, and he looked so stupid that I went home with him. It wasn't the last time he cheated on me. He went to Hollywood with a woman. Oh, what was that woman's name? Oh, she was rich and erotic. Muriel. Her name was Muriel. They had gone to Hollywood to write a screenplay. Her daddy bankrolled it. Arthur never sent me a penny. Well, I guess they must have started an affair or something, because when he tried to end it, Muriel threatened to commit suicide. Oh, honey, it was a mess. One day we were all in Cafe Society. I guess they had just gotten back from California. And Muriel followed me into my cab, and she said, I want us to be friends. It tears at me that you're so angry with me. And I said, Muriel, there are people you like, and there are people you don't like. And I don't like you. Get out of my cab. I've been sleeping with my husband for 2 years.
A lot of interaction between the generations.
Yeah.
There.
Yeah.
There is a very precarious time, I think, in a lot of people's lives where you are at your adult stage and your grandparents are still alive. And it's all too short. And a lot of people don't even get to experience that. A lot of people's grandparents pass away when they're still kids. Mm-hmm. And I think to be able to speak across a generation as adult to adult is a really important part of a lot of people's, you know, life cycle. And I think that this play is one of the only plays I know that captures that period in a person's life so masterfully.
Who are the other cast members?
The other one is Annie Cleveland and Anna Tuja.
A four-member cast.
Four-member cast, yeah.
Tell us a little bit about the playwright, Amy Herzog.
Well, Amy Herzog is an up-and-coming young female playwright. It's incredibly gifted. I compare her often with playwrights like Annie Baker, who I think the Russians call the little Chekhov, because these are both writers that are able to capture within the words so much unspoken emotion and the subtext that only Chekhov is kind of known for. So she's very Chekhovian in ways.
What life lessons can be learned from this play?
Valuing the time that you need to grow as a human being.
And valuing the time that you spent together and knowing when it's time to let go.
Veteran actress Carol Sutton and NOLA Project Artistic Director A.J. Allegra. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Diane.
The NOLA Project presents Amy Herzog's 4,000 Miles at the Ashe Cultural Arts Center, 1712 Aretha Castle Haley Boulevard. Performances are running now through November 5th. You're listening to Inside the Arts on 89.9 WWNO, New Orleans Public Radio. I'm Diane Mack. Uptown on Loyola's campus, Southern Rep Theater explores modern warfare in the regional premiere of playwright George Brandt's Grounded. The one-woman show stars award-winning film and TV actress Kerry Cahill as an Air Force pilot whose career is transformed by a life-changing event. Kerry, welcome to Inside the Arts.
It's good to be here.
Is this a big change for you, going from TV and film acting to a one-woman stage performance?
Yeah, it's very different. It is all me. It's a little bit like stand-up comedy, except I'm not allowed to improvise. So there is no net at all. It's just me.
So what attracted you to the production?
Part of it is that I think as an artist, you're always looking for the next challenge or the next step or the what's the thing I haven't done, what's the thing I want to stretch. And one-person shows are a little bit like training for a marathon in terms of making sure that your voice can pull it off. So I have to be interesting at all times.
So tell us about the storyline. What is this life-changing event?
It's a fighter pilot, and she gets pregnant. So she gets grounded, which is where the title comes from. And it's about how that affects her life when she goes back to the Air Force. She becomes a drone pilot, which is not the same thing at all as flying an F-16 through the sky and going really, really fast and deploying and all of this. It's a very different experience. She drives home every day, and it explores that and explores what that does to us as humans. If you drive to war like it's shift work, which is a line from the show, what does that do to you, you know? This section is in the middle of the play. It's once she's actually a drone pilot and she's not doing quite well, and her husband wants her to see a counselor. I wouldn't be sitting here on a couch with an Air Force-approved shrink with my husband talking about my feelings, what our relationship is, what we want it to be. I would not. So, can we? Can we pretend that I don't come home every day? Every single day. Can we? Can we do that? Can we do that very simple thing? Can we? Can we all pretend that I'm really in a real war? What this show does is it gives a little bit of a window into this one servicewoman's life for civilians.
So how is modern warfare explored in the production?
First of all, the play starts in 2006, but it really takes place, the bulk of it, in 2008, 2009. So there's a lot of newer things about drones, etc. And one of the things I will say is they prefer to be called remotely piloted aircrafts, because drones gives it the idea that no one's in control of it, which is not true. There's that great quote about technology surpassing our humanity. And I think we're at that crux, and drones really bring us there. We can actually look at the Antarctic now. We can look at the Arctic. We can look at all of these great things, study climate change on a level. Drones have gotten us a lot. We know more. We can learn more. We can do a lot more things effectively. But then it also gives us this extra power and this extra level that comes great responsibility, I think.
And the issues that are tackled in it that actually affect the lives of today's servicemen and women. Mm-hmm.
It's about sort of the mental fatigue that you get, because what we're dealing with right now is 2001 is really when the current war on terror started. And it's 2016 and it's not over. There's not a lot of clarity in it. We're fighting an ideology that can spread. And so what comes through in the play a little is a lot of talk about the gray. And I think that's appropriate because this war gets gray. The clarity gets muddy. It's more difficult to fight because the enemies aren't in one place. It becomes a lot more difficult to wrap your brain around it. It becomes a lot more difficult if you're a serviceman or woman to make it, you know, clear, black and white, which is what we like, right? Clarity makes it easy, but it's not always clear, and that becomes difficult. Vietnam vets, they deployed once, and they came home, and that was it. We have men and service women who've been deployed twice, three times, four times. And then we have now drone pilots who, that's their job. That's what they do all the time. They're not deploying. That's what they do all the time. They literally drive to Creech Air Force Base every day, 5 days a week, and go to war. That's never happened. This is totally new territory.
And this story is one that is close to your heart.
It is. I am the national spokesperson for AMVETS. They've been around since World War II, been their service base.
Did you actually serve?
No, my father was in the Army, and he was murdered in the Fort Hood terrorist attack in 2009. He died because of the modern warfare we're dealing with. So this show, particularly with that, and growing up a military family, my grandfather served in World War II, my cousin served in Iraq, most of my friends have a connection to the military. So yeah, this play means a lot for me. I think I bring a lot to it with that, which is good, because I do think you have to have a really deep well to sort of pull from.
Tell us a little bit about yourself, your acting career.
I will say my episode 2 of The Walking Dead aired, and I can now say I'm a recurring character named Diane, and I'm in The Kingdom, which I get to play a good guy, so I'm very happy about that. And then I have a couple movies coming out. One is really close to my heart, but I don't. It's called Thank You for Your Service, and it's based on the book by David Hinkle, directed by Jason Hall, who wrote American Sniper. And then I have Heart Baby, directed by Angela Shelton. Free State of Jones came out last summer, so I feel really lucky right now.
Can you tell us a little bit about the playwright George Brandt?
He's a playwright who's on the rise. He's been done internationally and continuing to be done internationally. And he studied at UT in Austin. He has a way of using language where he doesn't use articles. There's things he'll leave out on purpose in terms of the structure of a sentence that make it more interesting. He leaves a lot of blank space in the room that you, the audience member, get to fill in.
What do you think audiences will talk about long after seeing this performance?
I think how we leave the world for our kids and how we leave the world for our veterans. I think those are the two themes for me. And privacy, one of those three is probably it.
Actress Carrie Cahill, thanks.
You're welcome. Thank you very much for having me.
Southern Rev Theater presents Grounded by George Brandt. Opening tomorrow night in Loyola University's Lower Depths Theater. Located in the Communications and Music Building, 6363 St. Charles Avenue. Performances run through November 27th. That's our show for this week. Inside the Arts is a production of WWNO. Our program is archived at wwno.org. I'll be back with more ideas for your artistic palette next Tuesday at 1 p.m. when we'll go Inside the Arts. I'm Diane Mack.